A busy agenda coming up for the week ahead. Luckily, we have Marcus Mavrey, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times, and Fernando Pizarro, Washington Correspondent for Univision, both with us to try and decipher what's going on in the week ahead. And Marcus, I understand that your word is punitive.
My word is punitive. I think it's going to be a week that's punitive for many people out there.
Hopefully that refers to the week ahead, not the conversation we're about to have. Fernando Pizarro, I understand you think the week ahead is about crossing borders.
Yeah, I'm sorry I have two words instead of one, but yes, I think that's a good word to unite the two stories we'll talk about today.
It's okay, Fernando. We'll just hyphenate it. and speaking of crossing borders, crossing the border from Pakistan to Afghanistan, that appears to have been the problem, Marcus, that we find out about in these tens of thousands of secret military documents that were released by WikiLeaks. It appears that Pakistan, in whom we have been investing and supposedly maintaining, if not an untroubled, but a close relationship, that they've been directly aiding the Taliban. So does the White House have to respond to this with a change on policy?
Well, the White House response so far has been that most of these documents were leaked from a time before the White House actually changed our policy and our direction there on the ground. That is kind of beside the point. Just because this kind of betrays really the kind of notes that you might call this the kind of intimate notes of a relationship. It'll be as if, you know, a husband and wife, you know, who are in, you know, therapy actually had their journal notes released. It's kind of like that. It's kind of deep down inside things that maybe shouldn't be revealed publicly. Not all of it is thought out. Most of this is raw intelligence. This is field reports. This is what people on the ground believe. This is what their sources on the ground tell them. This is not analyzed intelligence. This is not synthesized. This is raw data. And so for that reason, I think, you know, the administration, and I think rightly so, has warned against jumping to conclusions. But it's true. It also reveals the underlying reality and discomfort and contradictions, really uncomfortable contradictions of this United States-Pakistan relationship.
Okay.
And we fund them to the tune of $1 billion a year. Punitively, there's nothing we can do about it.
That's true. But let's talk about something that can be done when you're speaking of discomfort and an underlying reality. Let's talk about Tony Hayward. Remember this thing that he said?
There's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. You know, I'd like my life back.
It appears he will be getting that wish back, although BP has not confirmed that's in the works. Most likely, Tony Hayward will be stepping down.
That's what all the reports are. There's universal belief at this point. That there's a belief that the board meeting in London is actually just a formality, and that he will be the greatest person for whom punitive action will be taken this week. And many people would say rightly so, since he was 3 years ago, he's CEO of BP. And, of course, the greatest legacy of his tenure is going to be this Gulf oil disaster, whether it was actually his fault and he had sent from the top down this message that we were going to cut corners, we're going to always do the most expeditious thing, you know, we won't worry profits above caution. If that was his actual word from the top down, or if that was actually something that was happening at a much lower level and it ended up causing the disaster we see in the Gulf, we won't know for some time.
Well, Fernando, let me move on to you with a question about Arizona's immigration law, which goes into effect on Thursday. There are already a number of lawsuits against the state, not just this one that involves the Justice Department. Can we expect a decision from the judge on the Justice Department case before the law takes effect on Thursday?
Well, that's what everybody is expecting, to have a decision hopefully within the next few days. As you just said, on Thursday, on July 29th, the law is about to take effect. So we'll have to see if the judge is going to make a decision. You know, because the DOJ took so long to take a step, because there were other legal challenges to the law that came forth by other organizations, you know, we don't know if the judge is going to have the time to do this. Otherwise, the law will take effect next Thursday. But we're closely following this. And of course, you know, the debate has been going back and forth in D.C., not so much publicly in Congress, but there have been marches here in D.C. last week. DREAM Act students, which are those kids that want to be legalized who came to the states before the age of 16, you know, staged a protest last week, had themselves arrested in Congress, which, of course, that puts them in under the the threat of deportation because they come forth. And this week there's going to be another march, probably not very big, but another march on the White House by U.S. citizen kids that are being separated by their from their parents by deportation. Usually their parents are undocumented aliens who have been deported by the U.S. government. The law, it's a big threat right now, and we're following this closely. We'll see if there's a decision this week.
Since you talked about crossing borders, let's cross one, and that would be the one between Venezuela and Colombia. This hasn't gotten a huge amount of headlines in the United States, but Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez broke off diplomatic ties with Colombia. Colombia is accusing Venezuela of harboring rebel groups like the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia and the National Liberation Army. How do you see this playing out?
Well, yesterday President Chavez threatened to cut off oil sales to the United States if Venezuela is attacked by Colombia. As you well said, last Thursday here in Washington, D.C., at the Organization of American States at a special session, Colombia officially accused Venezuela of harboring some of the FARC guerrillas. But, of course, international analysts are looking at this as a political ploy also by outgoing President Álvaro Uribe from Colombia, who is not exactly leaving a great, a great moment for his incoming president, Santos.
Right.
Hugo Chavez threatening to cut off oil sales would not exactly be a good move for his own economy, as the United States is the biggest purchaser of Venezuelan oil.
Well, Marcus, let's go on to the economy and see if your word for the economy is still punitive. We are waiting to hear BP's second quarter earnings, which surprisingly may actually have increased. But we're also getting our first set of GDP data for the second quarter of 2010. We also got those stress tests out of Europe where 7 banks failed out of 91 tested. So kind of give me the picture here. What are we expecting?
Well, to start with the European banks, a lot of people would say that those tests were not punitive enough, that you need actually to see much tougher tests. And so more than 7 banks should have failed, many
right.
analysts would say. Looking at GDP numbers, it's an interesting thing to see here. To see, are we going to see kind of standards continued growth? Or are we going to see a downtick in our growth? It doesn't matter because this economy has been punitive for workers. What really matters is hiring, and that's not likely to pick up. And so it's going to be a punitive economy, whatever the second quarter results are.
Yeah, we seem to be seeing good profits that aren't resulting in new jobs.
Exactly.
Marcus Mabry, associate national editor for our partner, The New York Times. Also, Fernando Pizarro joined us, a Washington correspondent for Univision. Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.